So you all heard the children's sermon, so we can just go home now, right? You got it, right? Just make sure that when you got your piggy banks that you don't keep it all for yourself. Give to your friends, and that's it. Pretty good. No, we will go into it much deeper than that. But praise God that all of the messages that we see and we read and we hear in the Word are able to even be able to be expressed to a child so that they can understand. That is the beauty of the Word of God, that it is able to be digested and understand by a 2- and a 3-year-old all the way up. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So again, if you want to follow along with me, I encourage you to keep open your Bibles to page 70 and to go along with me as we delve into this scripture. The parable is usually called the rich fool. And I think that's interesting because basically it's telling us don't be a foolish rich person. But I want to concentrate on what Jesus was actually telling him to do, which was being rich toward God. He said, this man is a rich fool because he has not been rich toward God. So let us look at the error of his ways and find out how we can be rich toward God. Amen. As is my practice, please pray with me before we start. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word that goes forth and accomplishes the mission that you send it to. Lord, as we have this parable to glean from and to learn from, allow our hearts to be receptive, our ears to hear, our eyes to see what the Spirit is saying and showing the church this morning. Use your servant to proclaim your word mightily, that there may be a transformation in this place. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to dig deep, and like I said, you can follow along as you will. So what does it mean to be rich toward God? Jesus is telling this man that you are a fool. Our Lord Jesus said that that's what was told to this man. You are a fool, and your life is being required of you because you have not been rich toward God. That is why you're a fool. It has a shock value. It's supposed to get our attention, and I hope it does. Jesus doesn't go around calling everybody a fool. It's supposed to get the disciples' attention at that place and time, and it should get our attention today too. So I want to make sure we understand what's going on. Jesus is teaching, as he often does. Praise God. Jesus taught us a lot of things. And he is teaching, and someone in the crowd brings him this problem. He is the younger brother. His older brother is trying to keep all of the inheritance for himself. Jesus, don't you have something to say in this matter? Tell him to give me a portion of the inheritance. And Jesus does something a little shocking. He decides not to get involved. He says, who has said that I am to be the judge or the arbitrator over you? And then he says, take care. He's going to use this opportunity to teach. Take care. Possessions are not what our life is about. One's life does not consist in the abundance or the excess of possessions. So before we get started, this is not a sermon about how bad wealth is. That is not what is here. It is not a sermon about how all rich people are going one place or another. That is not what's here. We are talking about excess. We are talking about taking up and storing for ourselves what should be for God. So this shock value, this thing that comes upon us is in direct relationship to this question that this young man had. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Last time I preached, we talked about Martha and Mary, a very familiar portion of scripture. And in that, we have, again, some sibling rivalry. We have Martha, I said she was the older sister, Martha being the older sister, and Mary being the younger, sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha says, Jesus, tell her to come and help me. In that one, Jesus says something very distinct. Please don't forget it. Martha, Martha, getting her attention, you are distracted and worried about many things. I would like to say Jesus is telling this young brother, you are distracted and worried about one thing, and that one thing is money. How many of us are distracted and worried about that one thing? Jesus tells us a parable to help us through it. All the time, this rich man has a problem. He has a lot of money. When is that ever a problem? I said, oh God, rich man has problems. A lot of rich people have problems. But if you go really fast and read this, you'll miss something. Jesus starts off the parable giving the man's identity in relationship to his wealth. He says he's a rich man. There's already a problem. Not the problem that the rich man thinks. He thinks he has a problem because he has too much and he's getting some more. No, he has a problem with his identity. If we are to be known by anything in this world, we are to be known because we are children of God. That is our number one identity. All other identities have to go to the wayside. It says in Scripture that when we are in Christ, there is now neither Greek nor Jew, nor slave, nor free, nor male, nor female. We are now one in Christ. This man already has a problem because he is being identified by his wealth. He has a wrong identity. He does not realize who his allegiance should be to, whose he is, who is Creator. So he's already being identified by Jesus as a rich man who's getting some more stuff. And now he thinks he has a problem. How many of us realize that so many things are vying for our allegiance, for our identity? We live in a great country, but if we are first known as Americans, that may be a problem. We should be known as children of the living God. Once we are baptized in that one baptism, that constitutes a new family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. There is no longer American or Native American or African American. We are one in Christ. And that should speak volumes to us about how we identify ourselves and how we identify with each other. This rich man was allowing his possessions to identify him. His identity was locked up in what he had. And that could then not allow him to ever be rich toward God. Being rich toward God means that we identify first with Christ, with his death, with his resurrection, that we are baptized into one family. Being rich toward God means that our identities are in proper check. So since we are here to serve God, we must ask God to reveal his will to us. I want you to take a look at something, especially if you have your Bibles open. This rich man thought he had a problem. And so his land produced abundantly. He thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have ample goods. I hope everybody saw the problem in this. How many times did this man say, I and my and what I have? He said to his own soul. I mean, he started speaking to himself in the third person, essentially praying to himself. What should we do about this, Lord of your own life? And then he decided what he was going to do. And he went and executed that plan. Oh my goodness. If we as believers do this, we cannot possibly be rich toward God. Where was God in any of this? It says that his land produced abundantly. Where do you believe that abundant production came from? From God, the Creator. He did not give God any glory. He did not come on Sunday morning and worship God for just another day of living. He did not give God glory for everything that he had. Did he tithe and give a tenth of his earnings? All of it comes from God anyway. He said to himself. And then he went out and he thought of a plan and executed it. When we are rich toward God, brothers and sisters, we take our worship and our praise to God first, acknowledging that everything that we have, everything that we are, is from God. Scripture says, in Christ we live and move and have our being. Everything comes from God, and we must worship God and thank God for what he has given us. This man didn't do that. And there's another caveat. As he is thinking about what he should do and how he should take care of all of the excess, the abundance that he has, what was his relationship to his neighbor? Reverend Nash talked a couple of weeks ago about the Good Samaritan. What would a relationship with a neighbor look like in this sort of circumstance? I mean, what we know from Jewish culture is that a farmer who, whether he has an abundant crop or not, should always leave a little bit for those who are needy. They should leave some of the crop intentionally to make sure that those who don't have can come along and pick it up. If we read the story of Ruth and Boaz, that is what Boaz did for Ruth. He made sure that they left a little bit so she could glean, so she could have enough for her and Naomi. Did this person do that? What happens when we have more than enough? Are we inclined to share with that person that may not have? And I'm not just talking about writing a check. Don't get me wrong, writing a check is good. But what about other ways in which God has given you abundantly? We discussed today in our Bible study about how Jesus gives us authority and he sends us out. Are we sharing the good news of the gospel with people? I mean, that is more valuable than any money we could ever give anyone, to know Jesus for themselves. Are you sharing the light that is inside of you? Are you truly being salt in this earth? Are you giving your time? Everyone doesn't always need money. Sometimes they just need someone to come and say God loves you and remind them that there are people who do love them and care for them and will come and visit them. Did this man do any of that? What was his relationship to God? What was his relationship to others? We can't be rich toward God if we are not first worshiping God and consulting God on our decisions, but also making sure that we are mindful and cognizant of those around us who need to feel the love of God and experience God for themselves. Sometimes that may mean financial blessings. Something I also want us to understand, because we are not demonizing wealth, is that when we do get wealth, and God is good, we do get so much that we don't deserve. It's just God's outpouring upon us. We are to be good stewards of those resources. It is not so that we could have, like this man, a storehouse, barns, and build them up and fill them up and then actually tear them down when we have too much and build up new ones. No, that is not what we're supposed to do, brothers and sisters. We are supposed to be good stewards, manage what God gives us. That goes right back to, what is our relationship with our communities? What is our relationship to each other? Not only with wealth, some of us have an abundance of time. I wish I had more time. Some of us do have some time, and if that may mean going and reading to the kids at the local school who don't have anyone to read to them, or going to the Christian Help Center and helping them out. But there are so many ways that God blesses us, and we do have abundance of something if we would take heed and look. Being good stewards, I'm reminded of what it means to be a mother, and that I don't control Mark's life. He wouldn't allow me to do that anyway, but I don't control Mark. I am supposed to rear him in a way that allows him to know the love and admonition of the Lord. So I am to manage his life in a way that God can love on him and that he would know that's who all his resources comes from. Are we being good stewards of our children's lives? And being good stewards of our relationships here. What does it mean that we might just come on a Sunday morning, but we don't see each other the week through? It is good to come. It is a blessing to come. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But when do we make time to see each other throughout the week and pour on each other love and blessings that we know we so desperately need, especially in this time? To be rich toward God's means to be a good steward of everything that God has given us, and that in including our relationships and our time. So with all of that said, I wanted to also make sure that I did not go away. I had an ulterior motive when I had you to open your Bibles to take a look at what is in here with me. Because to be rich toward God, brothers and sisters, is to know his word. In knowing God's word, you learn the character of God. Just in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're able to see the life, the beautiful life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord, even just in those four books, the wealth of knowledge. But throughout the Bible, we see God's character. All throughout the Psalms, how great is our God. Praise ye the Lord. All of the ways that God reveals himself, that he is a shepherd, that he is good, and that he is king sitting on his throne. But we should know our words for ourselves, not just when we come on Sunday morning. This is what it means to be rich toward God, to study this word and to show thyself approved. My prayer for us today is that we would not take this passage and hear Jesus saying, or me saying, or anybody ever say, that to have finances, to be blessed by God, is a bad thing. But to hear that what God is saying is that especially when you have finances, especially when you have wealth and abundance of possessions, that we must always first check our identity. Are we allowing our possessions to define our lives, or are we ourselves defining our lives by giving everything back to God? What is our relationship like with God and with each other? And then are we being good stewards to everything that God has given us in our hand? If we can do that, if we know that we are doing that, then we are truly being rich toward God. Jesus doesn't just leave the message there for shock value. That's where our lectionary reading ended. But Jesus actually gives a nice sermon, much better than I could ever do. And he says in verse 31, instead of being rich in material wealth, instead of laying up for yourself treasures on earth, instead of doing that, strive for God's kingdom, strive for his kingdom. And these things, everything that the rich man was worried about, everything that we so often strive for, will be given to you as well. And that's an interesting paradox. If we are concerned with God's way of doing things, if we are rich toward God and we show ourselves to be faithful, then why wouldn't God continue to bless us? We show that we have our identity rooted and grounded in Christ. We show that we worship God and thank him for everything that we get. We are blessed to receive, and then we give back out and pour out to neighbor, and that we're a good steward of everything that he has given us. Why wouldn't God continue to pour into us? We have been faithful in the little, so he will give us the much. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.